chapter number 21. The book of Genesis, chapter number 21 is where we'll be for tonight. And we covered a portion of chapter number 21 the last Wednesday night we were together. In fact, we covered the end of it because it was kind of the continuation of chapter 20. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get right into the chapter. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight, the opportunity to preach. I pray that you'd help us in these next few moments. We need you and we pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter number 20, we talked about the miracle or the mistake before the miracle. And we watched as Abraham once again made the mistake of departing from the land of Canaan, departing from the promised land, and going somewhere he probably never should have went. He went down to Gerar, and there Abimelech took Sarah to be his wife. We know the story, how that God intervened and showed up and stopped all of this from happening. And God prevented that terrible tragedy from taking place one more time in chapter number 20. Well, if chapter 20 was the mistake before the miracle, chapter 21 is certainly the miracle. Chapter 21 of Genesis is the fulfillment of the promise that God made many years ago. In these past few Wednesday nights, we followed the life of Abraham and we've pointed out how his life has been one of great mountains and been one of deep valleys. There have been moments of faith and there have been moments of failure. But in spite of all of this, the ups and the downs, the goods and the bads, the mountaintops and the valleys, we see that God remained faithful. Although Abraham wasn't always faithful, and he was a man of faith, but he wasn't always faithful, God still remained faithful. And we will see that in chapter number 21. I believe that all of us tonight could attest and testify to the faithfulness of God. In fact, if we were honest, we would testify and say that our lives are much like the life of Abraham. We have our mountaintops, do we not? We have our valleys just the same. We've got our good days and we've got our bad days. But in spite of our ups and our downs, God is faithful. God never changes and God is always true to Himself and He's always true to His Word. Now chapter number 21 is an interesting chapter because it shows us two sides to a coin. We see the joy that comes from the birth of Isaac, that joyful, exuberant expression that is given to us as Isaac is born and laughter is heard in the house and rejoicing is heard in the house. But the scripture also shows us that the other side of the coin, and that is the fact that the result of faith and the result of failure meet each other head on in chapter number 21. And you'll see what we mean by that in just a moment. I simply entitled this chapter, The Birth of Isaac. I couldn't think of a better title. This is The Birth of Isaac is the theme, the thought, the topic of chapter 21. But there are three things specifically I want to point out to you from the chapter. Number one, maybe you want to write this down. I want you to see the promise fulfilled. The promise fulfilled. Verse number one says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him." When God first spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, it seems like so long ago, when God first spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, He promised him that He would make him a great nation. There have been many years come and go since Genesis chapter 12. In fact, there have been 25 years come and go since Genesis chapter 12. God made this promise in chapter 12. He reaffirmed the promise in chapter 13, reaffirmed it again in chapter 15, did it one more time in chapter 17. But up until this point, all Abraham had was a promise. God, many years ago, over two decades ago, said, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to make you a great nation. He even changed his name to be the father of multitudes. But all Abraham had was a promise. I want you to notice the way that chapter 21 begins. I love this. This just reached out and grabbed a hold of me this week. Notice the way verse 1 is written. The Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah, and maybe you want to mark or underline these next few words. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Now watch this. And the Lord did unto Sarah, and mark these words, as he had spoken. God visited Sarah as he said, and he did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Twice in this verse, it reminds us that all they had was God's word, but God was true to his word. Amen. He didn't just visit Sarah. He visited Sarah just like he said he would. And he didn't just do a miracle. He did exactly what he said he would do. God honored his word to Abraham and Sarah. That's no surprise. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God had made a promise to Abraham, and God intended to make good on that promise, and he did make good on that promise because God always keeps his word. I wrote this down in my notes. It had been 25 years since God made the promise, but God had made a promise. It seemed like God had forgotten, but God had made a promise. The odds were impossible, but God made a promise. And God is always true to his word. Amen? Amen. I want you to see a couple things in these first few verses. I want you to see this letter A. I want you to see the blessing of patience. The blessing of patience. The Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. After 25 years, God did for them what he said he would do for them. The Hebrew writer wrote about Abraham in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 through 15, and said this, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. So that after he is Abraham, so that after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. God gave him a promise. God swore to himself, and Abraham patiently waited. And by patiently waiting, he got the thing that God promised to him. I've said it before, and it's worth mentioning again. God is faithful. If you don't hear anything that I say tonight, hear this. God is faithful. He has always been and he always will be. In fact, I'm really afraid of this. I'm afraid that too often you and I give up on God far too quickly. Amen. We think just because God doesn't do something when we think he should do it and how we think he should do it, well, that means God's forgotten, but God hasn't forgotten. Abraham and Sarah had been given a promise and God made good on it. And if you and I have promises and we've got a book full of them, we should not give up on God too quickly. Amen. Oh, God was teaching them something through this patience. You better believe he was. Abraham and Sarah since chapter 12 have learned to walk by faith. Abraham and Sarah since chapter 12 have grown in faith. Abraham and Sarah have learned what faith is really all about since chapter number 12. They are not the same couple that God found those 25 years ago. They are stronger today. They are further along today. They are deeper today. And it's all because God gave them a promise and he made them wait and caused them to learn to trust in his word. Can I say in the same fashion, God doesn't always immediately answer our prayers. Just because he doesn't do it when we think he should do it does not mean that he is forgotten, and it does not mean that he has failed. God's delays are not always God's denials. Sometimes God doesn't answer right away, and He does that for a purpose. Sometimes He does it to strengthen our faith. You know that faith is like a muscle, right? The more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. If God never made you wait on something, if every time you prayed it just immediately happened, you'd be a very weak Christian. In fact, do you know what you would be? You'd be a spoiled brat Christian. That's what you would be. I'm of the opinion, now you can believe this or not, but I'm of the opinion that sometimes it's good for you to tell your children no, even if what they're asking for isn't bad. You say, why should I do that? Because they can't hear yes all the time.
Amen.
I got half of you right there, but that's okay. And you know what? God sometimes has to say, you just need to wait a minute. You need to learn to trust me. And when we pray about something and it's important to us and God doesn't answer right away, you know what we have to do? We have to trust God. Amen. And God sometimes walks us through those deep valleys so that He can show to us that He's the lily of the valley. Sometimes He's got to walk us by those still waters so that He can be the shepherd of our valley. Sometimes God has to teach us faith, and He can't just give us something right away. It teaches us patience. Patience is a virtue, is it not? Yes. Patience is something most of us don't have in this instant gratification society. I want it and I want it now. Yeah. Amen? I'll order something off Amazon and I pay for Prime, and I sometimes think the 2 days are too long to get the stuff I've ordered. Move to Chattanooga, I can get it the same day. But we do God that very same way. But you know what also happens when God sometimes teaches us patience and puts us through this act of faith? Sometimes God does it to strengthen our faith. Sometimes He does it to teach us patience. But sometimes He does it so that His glory can be revealed in the situation.
Amen.
In fact, not only do I see the blessing of patience, I see the display of power. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. She said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck, or have borne him a son in his old age? The Bible tells us twice in these verses that Abraham and Sarah were too old for this to be happening to them. He was 100. She was 90. Who would have ever thought a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman would have a child? You don't expect that. You don't see that every day. But God did this for a purpose. God brought them to the point where it was impossible, so that when it happened, everybody would see that it was the hand of God. When Paul tells this story to the Romans in Romans chapter number 4, verse 17 through 21, he describes Sarah as being a tomb. She's a graveyard, Paul said. He said in verse 17, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. He's talking about Sarah's womb. Quickens the dead, brings to life that which is dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which he had spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he that had promised was able also to perform. Paul said, Abraham said, my body's as good as dead. Her body is as good as dead. But I trust that God will do just exactly what He said He'll do.
Amen.
And God, from the grave, brought forth life.
Amen.
And everybody that saw it said, this was the hand of God. Sarah named him Isaac. We know Isaac means laughter. She said in verse 6, God caused me to laugh. She said, but now he's given me a child so that everybody can laugh with me. They can rejoice with me because God has done what he said he'd do.
Amen.
I thought about this and I thought about my life. I could tell story after story when there have been times when I've asked God for something and I've prayed for something. And God brought me to the point where it seemed like it was an impossible situation. But yet God showed himself faithful.
Amen.
God proved himself faithful to Abraham and Sarah. He taught them patience. He taught them the strength of God. I see a promise fulfilled. Beginning in verse number 8, not only do I see a promise fulfilled, but I see a problemed family. I see a problemed family. Look at verse number 8. And the child grew. Speaking of Isaac. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Uh-oh. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. As far as I can read and tell, it was customary for a Jewish child to be weaned at the age of 3 years old. If this is true, that means that 3 years passed between chapters, verse number 7 and verse number 8. It could have been as little as a year, but it could have been as long as 3. That means that if it was 3 years, at this time, verse number 8, Isaac is 3 and Ishmael is 17. And the Bible says that when it comes time for Isaac to be weaned, Abraham throws a celebration. And as the celebration's taking place and everybody's having a good time, Sarah notices something. She notices Ishmael picking on his little brother. He's mocking him, the Bible says. He's making fun of him. He's putting him down. Maybe he pushed him into the dirt. I don't know. But he's mocking his little brother. And when Sarah sees that, Sarah turns into the normal mama bear and she says, this can never happen. You have got to get rid of her, Abraham. Tell Hagar and Ishmael to leave. The Bible said this was very grievous in the eyes of Abraham. See, the reality is that whether Isaac was 1 year old or 3 year old, Ishmael was 17. And Ishmael had been Abraham's son for 17 years. And he loved Ishmael. In fact, he pleaded with God for Ishmael just a few chapters ago. And now Sarah says, tell her to leave, pack her bags and go. Now the last time Sarah did that, you remember what happened. Abraham drove the expecting Hagar out. She did not get far and God said, go back home. But not this time. This time God will speak to Abraham and say, you need to listen to Sarah and you need to ask them to leave. You say, how in the world could God do that? Tell him to leave. We'll get to that in just a moment. But in doing this, and in this family tragedy, something bigger is being seen. If you just read chapter 21, it seems like it's just a troubled household, like there's so many other troubled households. But it's not. That's a picture of something bigger. That's a picture of something deeper, more spiritual. Something that all of us face every day of our life. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, chapter number 4, that there's two allegories or two pictures in Genesis chapter 21. The first is the picture of the spirit and the flesh. He said in verse 22 of Galatians 4, for as it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman, verse 23, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Verse 28 says, but we brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. But then he that is born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Paul is saying this. Ishmael and Isaac represent the flesh and the spirit. Think about this with me for a moment. Ishmael is a picture of the flesh. He's a picture of the first birth. Was he not the first birth? The firstborn to Abraham. He's a picture of the first birth. He's a picture of the flesh. If you'll allow me to say it this way, Ishmael is the work of man. He's what man can do. He's the result of man, the flesh. But Isaac's the work of the Spirit. Isaac is a picture of the second birth, the new birth, a person being born again, if you'll let me say it that way. That's what Paul is saying. Isaac is a picture of the second birth. Ishmael is the best that Abraham and Hagar could do. But Isaac is what God could do. Isaac is the Spirit. Isaac is the one that only God can do the work. Ishmael is the work of man. Isaac is the work of faith. He's the work of God, the work of faith. He's a picture of a person being born again. You see, all of us, if we're saved, have an Ishmael experience and an Isaac experience. You don't remember the Ishmael experience. Mine was January 10th, 1979. I'm 39. You don't have to do the math. I'll do it for you. But on February the 23rd, 1993, I had my Isaac experience. I don't remember the first one when I was born in St. Mary's Hospital. I don't remember that one, the Ishmael experience. But I'll never forget the Isaac experience. The day I was born again, born into the family of God.
Amen.
There's a second picture. There's not only the picture of the flesh and the spirit, there's a picture of law and grace. Paul says, verse 24, 25, 26 of Galatians 4, he said, which things are an allegory? For these are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with the children. But Jerusalem, which is above, which is Sarah, which is the mother of us all. You see, Isaac and Ishmael were the spirit and the flesh. But Hagar and Sarah were law and grace. Hagar is a picture of Mount Sinai, where the law was given to Moses. It is a picture of the earthly Jerusalem. She is the work of man. She is a type of works-based religion. Do, do, do. But not Sarah. She's a picture of the Jerusalem which is above. It is not do, do, do with Sarah. But it is believe, believe, believe. And all Abraham and Sarah did was believe. And Isaac was born. You see, there are lots of people that still want Hagar. They want to work for their salvation. They want to work for the new birth. But you can't ever get the new birth by working. You just get the work of flesh. But it's when you trust God and you put faith in God, then God is able to do a miracle.
Amen.
I said all that to say this. In this family, in chapter 21, we see Abraham living with both the flesh and the spirit, law and grace. Is he not? Paul said Ishmael and Isaac, flesh and spirit, Hagar and Sarah, law and grace. He's got them all in his house. Right? Abraham, therefore, in chapter 21, has a choice to make. He can either try to live with both of them as best he can, or somebody's got to go. And you know what? For 3 years, he tried his best to live with both of them. He received the new birth, but he still had the first birth hanging around. He received the Spirit, but all the flesh was still tagging along. Oh, he got a load of grace, but the law was still right there. And he tried his best to live with both for 3 years. Do you know that there's a lot of Christians that is the exact life that they're living? They have been saved, but they're still trying to live with their flesh. They are like Abraham, trying to get Ishmael to behave. But here's the trouble, friend. God said that Abraham would, or that Ishmael would be a wild man all the days of his life. And it didn't matter what Abraham did, he could never tame Ishmael. And no matter how hard you try, you can't tame your flesh. You see, the result of trying to live with law and grace, the spirit and the flesh, it's right here in this passage. You know what it is? The result of trying to live with both is frustration. And that's where most children of God, most Christians live. They've got the spirit. They want to do good. But they can't control that flesh and they keep winding up doing something bad. If I could just do this, then I could, you know, I'd do better. I got to just do more of this and less of this, and I can do better. I can do better, preacher. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to do better. And then they wind up messing up again. The only logical solution, because you can't live a peaceful life with flesh and the spirit. The only logical solution, somebody's got to go. Somebody had to leave this household. He could, now, and this is what a lot of Christians do because they're so frustrated. He could have asked Isaac to leave. He could have. He could have called Sarah and Isaac to leave. Sarah could have said, "You're going to have to ask them to go." And he could have said, "No, honey, you're going to have to go." There's a lot of Christians that have done that. They have become so frustrated in their Christian life. They say, I give up. I'm not even going to try to live for God. Yeah. And they just give over to the flesh and do whatever the flesh wants them to do. They think that's the solution to the problem. Why even try? The other solution is the one that Abraham chose, and that's tell Ishmael to go. Tell the flesh to go. Now, I can hear you thinking right now, preacher, how am I going to tell the flesh to go? Paul gives us that answer in Galatians chapter 2. For in verse number 20, he says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The only way that this family could be happy was for Hagar and Ishmael to leave. And the only way you'll be happy is if you crucify your flesh. It's got to go. It has to die. You are going to have to come to the point in your life where you lay yourself on an altar somewhere, whether it be here, at home, in your backyard, you find a place with God, and you're going to have to lay yourself on that altar and say, "God, I'm tired of living for me. I'm tired of giving in to me. I want to live for you." And crucify the flesh.
Amen.
Amen.
Now that's not a one-time occurrence. Paul said, "I die daily." Yeah. I see a problem family. Last of all, number three, I'm done. I see the provision found. The provision found. Look at verse 14. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." God says to Abraham in verse 12, verse 13, I didn't read those. God says, "Send him away. Hearken to her voice." "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. She departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. The water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. She went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, 'Let me not see the death of the child.' And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. God heard the voice of the lad, The angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, and I will make of him a great nation." God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. The scriptures are clear that it was hard for Abraham to say goodbye. He loved Ishmael, but he knew what he had to do. He must obey the commandments of God. Little did Abraham know that the test he was facing in chapter 21 with one son was preparing him for a test he would face in chapter 22 with the next son. A small task, although it was great to him, a small task compared to what God's going to ask of him in just one chapter. The Holy Spirit does not just allow Hagar and Ishmael to walk off the pages of the Bible. The Holy Ghost does not want us to think that God abandoned them. Instead, we follow them into the wilderness. There in the wilderness, God shows us that He blessed Ishmael for Abraham's sake. And He made him a great nation. And the Arab nations are still in existence to this very day. God did make of them a great nation. I was thinking about this final thought, and I'll close with this. I said this is the provision found, and Hagar and Ishmael certainly found provision. But you know, when you think about it, there never should have been a Hagar. Yeah. If Abraham hadn't went down in Egypt when the famine came, if he'd stayed where God put him, there never would have been a Hagar. And there never should have been an Ishmael. Hagar and Ishmael were both the results of mistakes. But in spite of the mistakes, God still allowed His blessings. I thought about this. If God shut off blessings in our life every time we made a mistake, none of us would have any blessings. And sometimes we just flat out don't deserve the blessings. Hagar and Ishmael did not deserve the blessings. But God was good in spite of the failure. And God blessed in spite of the mess. And God provided, just as God provides for you and me, who are nothing more than a bunch of messed up people.
Amen.
Father, thank You for the opportunity that You've given me to preach the Word of God. I pray that You've helped somebody through Your word. Bless this church, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.